This message you're about to listen to was recorded live at the Redeemed Christian Church of God, the Throne Room Parish, Transcorp Hilton, Abuja. Be blessed as you listen.
Then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. I read, If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That the righteousness of God in him. Praise the name of the Lord. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Another version says creation. It says all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. You can see the connection. What is this ministry? To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature, is a new man. When you become born again, you become a new man in Christ. How many of us are born again in this place? That you know that you are born again. Not born against. Born again. Lift up your hands. Be bold. The Spirit himself, with your spirit, that you are a child of God. Praise the name of the Lord. So if you are born again here and people in the gallery, shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you really hearing me? If you are born against, shout a big hallelujah. It seems as if we are not hearing. Somebody say, looking and seeing, they are two different things. Jesus Christ says, let him who has ears hear the what the soul can have this. There's hearing and there's also hearing. Please be attentive and let your heart connect to this message. If you are born again and you are in him, a new creation, a new man in Christ, shout a big hallelujah. Aha! If you know that you know that you are a child of God, you have the Spirit of God impacted into your spirit man. Your spirit man is recreated after the Spirit of God, after the nature of God. Being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So if truly you are born again, shout again, amen. Amen. So it is settled. And I want to tell someone here, if you've not given your life to Christ, you are not born again, I'm expecting that through this word of faith, something will have happened in your life before the end of this service. That you wouldn't even need an altar call, because Jesus Christ never made any altar call. But the conviction will be in you that you accept him and that you run out quickly so we can follow you up. And at the end of this service also, I'm going to be asking many of us here to subscribe to something. And this is going to be the first part of what God will be dealing with us in the next couple of weeks. So how many of us are excited to go on this journey with God? How many of you are excited? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, I will be talking about activating the ministry, your ministry. Activating the ministry of reconciliation. When a man is in Christ, as soon as a man gives his life to God, as soon as you ask Jesus Christ, come into my life. You know you're a sinner. You repent. You make a U-turn and say, no, the things I used to do, I do not want to do them anymore. Today, I know that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. I need help. And I know that I cannot reach God. I know that Jesus Christ has paid the price for me. I know that in Him, I am the righteousness of Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Him. You just know. You come to Him, you receive Him as Lord and personal Savior, and then something happens in your spirit. Something tells you, you have a witness that you're a child of God. Listen, as soon as you give your life to Christ and you become a new creature, the next thing that happens automatically is that God gives you a ministry. That is why you can see here, it says what? It says, if any man be in Christ, it's a new creature, all things are passed away, and all things are become new. And then it goes again and says, He has handed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. He gives you a ministry. That is the next thing that happens. Not only that, He gives you also a word. It's called the word of reconciliation. Everyone who is there, who is born again, has a ministry. This ministry does not need a pulpit. This ministry does not need deacons. This ministry does not have to be incorporated. You don't have to go to a seminary for you to receive this ministry. As soon as you give your life to Jesus, there is a ministry handed to you. And this ministry is called the ministry of what? Oh, church, please don't say the ministry of what? Are we all following? The ministry of reconciliation. Of reconciling men to God. May I say something? And this is very, very serious. The reason why you are alive today is tied to that ministry. Don't joke with that ministry. One of the things that God is going to do is to many of us, that ministry is passive in our lives. And God will want to make it come alive to His glory. Many of you do not know that you have the ministry. You don't know. But this morning you are knowing the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation of what? Of souls. Souls are important to God. Since last year, God has been dealing with me concerning this. And for some time, I've been having a contemplative discussion with God, with the Holy Ghost. And one of the things He said to me, which I know the workers can confirm, I've said this several times, is that God would want the church to transact with Him over this sacrifice. I'm going to explain that. I want you to open your Bible to the book of John chapter 15, verse 16. It says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He shall give it to you." The reason why I didn't have boldness to come and share this aspect that Holy Spirit was ministering to me was because I needed a word. I said, "God, please, I need a word. I need a word to confirm what you are saying to me for your church." Many people have brought money. Money is good, a sacrifice upon the altar. Many people have brought materials, a sacrifice upon the altar, and say, "God, I'm giving you this." Many people have made vows to God. There's nothing bad about that. In fact, our God is a covenant-keeping God. If you check the history, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, you will begin to understand God's character. That God likes covenant. God likes agreement. He wants you to come. You can check it from the book of Revelation, from the book of Genesis. We saw it with the patriarchs, with Abraham, Isaac. In fact, it's also called a covenant-keeping God. We also saw the covenant in the old, in the new covenant, the New Testament. The blood of Jesus. Covenant. Agreement. Covenant. Agreement. That is how God operates. If you know that about God, you will go far with Him. Like some people have made covenants and say, "God, every morning I must pray for the church." It's a covenant. And they are keeping it. Every morning they are there in the church office. Whether rain comes, whether sun comes, let it rain. It's not by convenience, it's by covenant. He loves covenant relationships. We have a better covenant based upon better promises. This is the new covenant. So He likes agreement. He wants you to say, "God, this is what I'm entering into covenant." See, go and check it even in church history today. People who have made impact in the church, people who have seen God in dimensions that others have not seen, are people who keep covenant with God. So it is fantastic for you to bring your vows to Him, to bring money to Him. But as I was thinking that day, Holy Ghost just dropped it to my spirit and said, "See, what is the highest fruit, the highest sacrifice that you can bring upon the altar for you to transact business with me?" It says souls. souls. Many people do not talk about this because man needs money. But if you bring money here and you bring soul here, God will take the soul and not the money. He will take the soul first. Why? Because the soul is topmost in his priority. That is the heartbeat of God. And then yesterday, the word just came like a thunderbolt. Boom! I say, yes, I've seen it. Yes, I've seen it. Listen, upon this word, we have many prayer requests. Many answered prayers are tied to this same thing. The reason why most of us have not seen the answers to those prayer points that we've been praying is because of this. Because of this. John chapter 15 verse 16 confirmed it. And as soon as I got it, I say, yes! We are in for something great in the throne room. I do not know about you. Are you excited about it? Listen, what God is doing is ushering us into a dimension of signs and wonders. See what he says there. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Then he says, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Have you seen that? The word of God cannot be broken, because God is not a man that you should lie. God has never lied. It's not possible that God can lie. It's impossible. It's impossible. Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Will he not do it? Has he spoken it? Will he not make it come to pass? The strength of Israel does not lie, nor repent, for he is not a man. That is what the Bible says. Only the counsel of the Lord shall stand forever. His word is settled in heaven forever. He says that we should try him upon this word. Try me. You go bring forth fruit and let your fruit abide, and then ask me and see if I will not deliver to you that I have promised. So we have many unanswered prayers tied to this chapter, this word of God. And I'm trusting God in the precious name of Jesus that that ministry will be activated in every life, that will begin to bear fruits in the precious name of Jesus. Not only will you bear fruit, your fruit will remain. Oh, that amen sounds paralyzed. What, anytime that God is preaching this message, or God is speaking to a community of believers like this, it means that God is saying, come up a little bit higher. Begin to mature. Listen. Before the end of this year, you will bear fruits. And your fruit will speak for you. That amen sounds paralyzed. I said that amen sounds paralyzed. If you understand what God is saying this morning, you will be excited and say amen. Amen. Why? Why will you want to activate that ministry? Souls matter to God. Psalm 8 from verse 3 to 6. It says, when I consider thy heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? When I consider the works of thy hands, the universe, the billions and billions and billions of stars bigger than the earth, in the Milky Ways, the galaxies, many, unending. When I look at the planets, I look at the sun, the moon, Saturn, Pluto, Mercury. When I look at the stars, when I look at the expanse of the created, I begin to wonder, God, are you really interested in these things? He says, when I consider the works of... See, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Listen, I was telling someone, I'm saying that the reason why there is life here is because man is on earth. They've tried looking for life everywhere, they can't find. They've gone to different planets. In fact, about 2 weeks ago, I'm sure most of us watched it. The American, they made a rocket, but like a jet plane that went for 2 years, orbiting for 2 years, landed about 2 weeks ago. With all the sparks, I was watching it. I was so excited. They've gone looking for life everywhere. Couldn't find. The reason why this place is lively is because we are in it. If man is not here, God is not interested. That is why you see most of those planets, they look abandoned. They look arid. They look fallow. They look sun-baked, some of them. Man is important to God. Man is important to God. Matthew 16:26 says, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is much. See, even if you take the whole moon, stars, everything that God has made, the value of that cannot compare to the value of your soul. God loves souls. Love souls. And I want us to know that even God's mood is tied to souls. We saw it. Listen, when Jesus Christ did a lot of miracles, miracles are still happening even today. One of the miracles was Lazarus, who was dead for about 4 days, and he was raised back to life. And people were shouting, jubilating. If God were to raise a man from the dead in this place, oh my God, you will see people jubilating. How many of us know that? Say, a man dead for 4 days. They brought him here in the throne room and we just pray. And then the man, there will be jubilation. Fantastic, wonderful. Heaven is pleased with that. But do you know that the only time that is written in the scripture that heaven rejoiced was when a sinner gave his life? When a sinner finds his way to repentance. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Likewise, Jesus Christ saying, I say unto you, that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. He goes again and says, Luke 15 verse 5, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So when a sinner repents, heaven rejoices. God rejoices. The mood of God is tied to the state of the souls. We saw it when God created the earth in Genesis. And during the time of Noah, Genesis chapter 6, thereabout, we saw what happened when God had to destroy the earth with water. He says, it grieved me. God was sorrowful because man has become wicked. Our God also goes through mood swings because of man. He could be happy. He could be sad. He also weeps. Jesus Christ wept with tears. Listen, what is in the topmost heart, the topmost priority in the heart of God is the souls of men. We also saw it again in the book of Revelation chapter 8 when the seventh seal was to be opened and God was to release his wrath and his judgment. The Bible records that everywhere was silent. Everywhere. The angels were silent. God himself was silent for 30 minutes, half an hour. God was silent. Why? How can I destroy that which I've created, that looks like me, and I'm a just God? Do you know what it means? For you to give birth to a child, and you love that child looks like you, that child talks like you, that child in your image, and also in your likeness, and then that child does something wrong. And you are the final judge who will determine that child's destiny. Whether it's to go to hell and burn in hell forever or to heaven. And then the day comes and you sit as a judge to judge your own child. And because you are just, you can't do otherwise than to send your boy to hell. It is not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be. That was why there was silence for half an hour before the trumpets began to blow. And then his wrath started to pour. And then lives destroyed and sent to hellfire. Listen, it is not God's will for you to go to hell. It is not God's will for anyone to go to hell. Doesn't matter whether you are, whether the person is a killer, a murderer, or a kidnapper. It doesn't matter. God is interested in the soul of that person. I pray in the precious name of Jesus that God will make us to begin to see the way he sees. That amen sounds weak and dull. Amen. Praise to the name of the Lord. So God values souls so much Why must you activate this ministry over your life? Number one. I take two now, and then next week we'll continue. Number one. Because it is a command for you to go. Tell somebody it's a command. Open up your Bible to the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus said unto us, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Matthew 28 from verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So he says, go and begin to win souls. Go. Listen. If he says go and you are not going, what is that? Disobedience. If you are born again and you are not winning soul, you are living in disobedience. One of the things that God wants us to do is to acculturize this in our lives. Sharing not your, you begin to share your faith everywhere you go. Hey! Something good is about to, I tell you, something is about to break forth in this place. No. If you are spiritual, you understand what I'm saying. If you are spiritual, you understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the name of the Lord. So he says, go. If you are not going, then you are disobeying. Every born again Christian must be involved in soul winning. Not only with your, for you to bring forth fruit, but that fruit must remain. And I want to tell you that all the things and the blessings attached to this will be your experience in life. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Number two, why must I activate this ministry? Write these things down. Why? Because it confirms our love for God and the lost souls. John chapter 14 verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Again, God said to Peter, John 21 verse 16, he says, and Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Listen, God loves the sinner, but hates the sin. God loved the sinner, so you should also love the sinners. We have seen people have said many things. Say, oh, that man is just an adulterer, a fornicator. I don't want to see him. God, I don't want to have anything to do with him. Or they say, oh, those girls, useless girls, these are men, sleep around with them. I don't want to see them around. Ah! Who are you to judge? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He has not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might know God. He loves the sinner so much that Jesus Christ, when he was spending time, they said, he's a friend of sinners. He's a friend of tax collectors. He's a friend of people who drink drunkards. That is the Jesus, the Son of God. When you go out, you are confirming that you love him and that you share the same with him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. God does not love the world, somebody says, but without understanding. Say, for God so loved the world, not the world system. He's talking about the world as people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes, whosoever is the person. So we should be intentional. You don't mix up with unbelievers without having a plan. You go in among sinners with intentions to win them for Jesus. And that is the ultimate plan. Number three. Number one is a command. Number two, it confirms the love that you have for God and also for his souls. Number three is to depopulate the kingdom of darkness. Many people are going to hell. And God is... See, sometimes when I listen to some of all these messages by people who have gone to heaven and people who have died and they keep... Some of those things are not accurate. Because some, I can't find support for them in the scriptures. One of my friends, I respect him so much, he kept disturbing me. Pastor, you have to see one man. He died and he woke up. He saw many things. He died and woke up. What came to my mind is that, you see, what we have in the world alone is able to give you victory. Even Jesus Christ said it when Lazarus was there and the rich man. The rich man told Abraham, I said, please, send people. Let them wake up from the dead and go and preach. He says, even if they wake up from the dead, they will not listen to them. With all these stories of people coming out from the dead, people are still not moved. He preached a powerful sermon. And at the end, when I was going to the end of the sermon, I said, no, this one did not go to heaven. Or go to, he didn't die, he didn't see. He was probably hallucinating. Because it seems as if God was in a hurry to throw people to hell. That is not the God that we serve. As if the angels are happy to throw, just put them to hell, put them to hell. He even said that he saw that people entered hell because of gold earrings and palmed hair. And I'm wondering, are we not supposed to be spirits? How come this physical hair appeared in hell, fire? How come? So you mean they died and took gold and what's this thing called? Brazilian something and took it up to heaven. And took it to hell. Because I'm able to see them. As I was there, as soon as I mentioned that, my pastor, my friend's wife, just took all their earrings and just kept it inside her bag. And, you know... You know, some people like that kind of thing. So after service, after the man has preached, after service, they still go and meet the man and say, please, what more did you see? What did you see again? Did you see more things? Listen. Hell was not made for man. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 25 from verse 41. He says, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. When God was preparing hell, he never had man in mind. Also, you can take a cue also from Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. The dragon and his angels, they were cast into the lake of fire. Listen. The design, the engineering of hell was not made for man. And that is why it's a very painful thing that people are finding themselves in hell. It is sin that leads people to hellfire. Sin. Not earrings. Sin. And when God was preparing hell, he didn't have man in mind. That is why Jesus Christ said it's a place which is prepared for Satan and his angel. Unfortunately, many people are finding themselves going to hell. I pray in the precious name of Jesus that I will not lose even one person here to hell. Not one. And that you cooperate with God in making sure you go to heaven. He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. That is God. And that is why, if any man, see, it's like ice block. The people who made the refrigerator, they had a concept in mind that informed their engineering. So, ice is meant for the refrigerator. Ice is not meant for the oven. It's a mismatch. Therefore, when ice gets into the oven, oh my God, it's anguish. Any man that finds himself in hell is a pain, it's a place of pain, untold, anguish, the gnashing of teeth, everlasting damnation from God and from his kingdom. It's a place of darkness, a place of pain, of turmoil. I pray in the precious name of Jesus that everyone who is here will not make it to hell. If you are here, you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Pastor Savior, and you are not living right. Of course, you are going to hell. But it's not a place that God has prepared for you. When God was making hell, he didn't have you in mind. Don't let people come to deceive you. Do you know that God is not interested in sinners going to hell? Hey. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. He says, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not slack. Someone say, your God is slack. He has said this thing. Why is he not doing this? Why is it that somebody who is doing evil is living and it seems as if nothing is... Why is it that Shekau is not being killed with all the prayers? It's because of this. The long suffering. God can endure. He endures repentance. Not willing that any should perish. 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4, he says, I exhort thee therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. He will have all men saved. Some of you who are praying this prayer and say, my enemies, my person sits on my promotion, die, die. God, they're not dying. Because God, you should change your prayer points. One of the things that God is doing is to mature us. He says, if thy enemies be hungry, feed him. If thy enemy be thirsty, give him water to drink. For in so doing, you are pouring hot coal upon. Do you know what it means to pour hot coal on someone? When you show someone so much love that the person begins to bow to you. Hot coal. So people go to mountains and go to prayer rooms and go to vigils and not sleep on their beds. Die, 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 die. It's a waste of time. One man was preaching one day and he was saying, even if it's your mother who is doing you, let her die. I don't want my mother to die. If people were dying the way we are saying they should be dying, we should be seeing catastrophe everywhere. You just see the person who's driving, who is piloting the plane will just die. Plane will just begin to collide. The driver bus, driver and the bus, driver of the bus, school bus, will just die. And then, you know, and people on the road will just, but it's not happening that way. They're not dying. Is God telling us something? See what it says there in the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 53. And what happened to Jesus? He says, and they did not receive him. This was Jesus in one of the cities of the Samaritans. And because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume these as Elijah? Did as Elijah's did, and he turned and rebuked them. This is the Son of God. He says, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. They wanted to enter into a city. The way they treated him was bad. You know, they are the sons of thunder. So they said, we'll command fire, like in the love of Elijah, to come down and consume these ones. He says, he rebuked them. Can you see that in the scripture? The same scripture we used in praying. We use the word consume. We use, Father, send down fire, like in the days of Elijah, to consume them. Let them die, 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 die. But you can see here that he rebuked them. I have not come to kill the sinners, but to bring them to repentance. Church, it's time we begin to go out to depopulate the kingdom of darkness, to stop men and women from going to hell. It doesn't matter who they are. Some people cannot even tolerate people from other religion. They say this guy is a... Some people, once they see the goatee and the jump up trouser. What? Just condemn them. How many of us know what I'm talking about? Love them. Show them love. God is interested in their soul. And you taking a step will stop someone from entering hell. Let's begin to be intentional. I pray in the precious name of Jesus that God will give us understanding. Oh, I pray in the precious name of Jesus that God will give us understanding. So God said we should do something. By next month, we are going to be using these scriptures. This one, the one we read. About bringing our fruits and doing transaction on our fruits. And he's saying that he's going to do wonders in your life. How many of us are ready to subscribe to that? How many of us, church, you are ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? If you're ready, come on, lift up your hands, your right hand.
and say, Lord, I'm ready. Oh, I see people there on the gallery. How many of us are ready to activate that ministry? Oh, my God, my God, my God. Please, can you just stand up? Can you just stand up? Lift up your hands again. Almost everyone here, lift up your hands and say, Father, I thank you and I bless you, Lord. Praise, I bless your name. Go ahead and just worship the Lord and just love the Lord and just magnify him and thank him for his word today. Thank you, King of Glory. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise the name of the Lord.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. To download this message, please visit our podcast at The Throne Room on your handheld device or computer. For any inquiries, call 08087-000004 or visit the Life Center at number 20 Colorado Close off Dame Street, Maitama, Abuja. You can also visit our website, www.rccgthroneroom.org. You are highly lifted, highly favored. Thank you.